thewellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome to 100 Not Out, featuring your hosts, Dr. Damien Kristoff and Marcus Pierce.
Hello and welcome to 100 Not Out, a weekly show dedicated to helping you master the art of aging well. Marcus Pierce here with you, and boy, oh boy, I am here with not Australia's premier wellness expert, not Australia's premier longevity expert. He is the big, bad, bustling Barry Hall of longevity. He is the Blue Zone's number one. Nah, Dan Buettner would like to call himself the number one. He is the great.
Make me number two.
Dr. Damien Kristoff. Hello, big bad bustling.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, PC. I'm well. How are you?
I'm humming along. This is an episode that I feel like we have spoken about so many times when we haven't had a microphone and a red button flashing in front of us. And it's a question that I reckon we get asked more than ever. And it is, are the Blue Zones dead? Like, is it a thing of the past? And I had a look at all of our episodes, and there is nothing that reflects this conversation. So I thought, oh my gosh, you and I are going back to Ikaria for the fifth time in August this year, the last 10 days of August. And then the first 10 days of September, we're in Sardinia. And this is a conversation that it will come up at the dinner table whilst we're having a glass of wine. So, question without notice, Damo, the question everyone asks you, are the Blue Zones dead?
Oh, Piercy, I don't know. I don't think so, but I definitely know that some people aren't renewing their license. So I think that's an interesting thing. So, you know, like now that the Blue Zones are a product and do have a trademark, you now see that some countries are going, well, hang on a second, hold your horses. I don't know if we want to go through and jump through all those little hoops and pay the money to be a Blue Zone. And I don't know if you know, but I don't know how much money they've got to pay to be a Blue Zone. But I think that there might be a slight decrease in interest around the original five Blue Zones, particularly with one of them, to renew their license.
Are you being coy?
Well, you know that we now, like Okinawa is now no longer a Blue Zone, right?
Well, we know that the children and the grandchildren of the Okinawan elders are the unhealthiest prefecture in Japan.
I think it's official. I think they're now no longer a Blue Zone. I don't think they're considered a Blue Zone. So that was a discussion that came up the other day in my practice. So I was like, wow, far out. I knew that was likely to happen. I didn't know that it had happened. So
Googling like mofos here.
Yeah, let's see whether or not Producer Min. Let's see if Producer Min can find out. But they'd be getting close to not renewing. And I know that there's a little bit of hesitation in the in some of the other islands that we go to, in particular one of the islands, like, you know, this is a little bit too much.
You're being so coy today. I'll start explaining for everyone what you're saying in a minute.
So anyway, but I think people are still interested in longevity, but you know what? What's really interesting is I think we may have gotten through the fluked it stage of longevity, you know. So, like, there's a whole bunch of people that kind of made it through to 100 and something, and they got lucky because of a change or a shift in conditions and living conditions and et cetera, et cetera. So, it's going to be super fascinating over the next decade to see whether or not people purposefully make it to longevity and well, because I think in the past they fluked it. You know what I mean?
There's so many cans of worms you're opening up today. You've come into this conversation with a cryptic can opener that now has all of these conversations buzzing through my mind. So first of all, let's put my journalist hat on here. Dr. Damien Kristoff, are you intimating that that Blue Zone membership is a financial / commercial agreement? And it's not generally based on the data of date of birth, date of death, with a few metrics in between?
Well, I think the fundamental basis of becoming a Blue Zone is that you need to, you know, present the data. Like, I think that's fundamental. That's a rule. But I think in order to use the name Blue Zone, and maybe we need to find this out. Maybe there's a criteria.
Yeah, you can't call yourself the Blue Zone Longevity Center, for example.
No, like it's trademarked. So, like now that it's a product and it's a badge, so if you have been given the badge through the original research and that's kind of where it is, you know, is that grandfathered in? I'm interested to know, actually, fair dinkumly, like, did Singapore actually qualify with their data? Or is it that they're putting in place all of the strategies that Dan wanted to put into place when he was, you know, creating zones in and around the world and in particular Loma Linda? Is it just that they've implemented that or they've committed to implementing that, that now that makes them a Blue Zone, or does their data actually make them a Blue Zone now? So I'm interested about that. And then what further qualification actually is required? Like, do you need to pay for it? Or is that just, you know, given to you out of the goodness of their heart that you can now call yourself a Blue Zone?
So I mean, I can only talk on the basis of our time in Icaria and less so in Sardinia. But I would say almost hand on heart, because even the Icarian locals call themselves a third world country. There is no way that I could conceive that Icaria would pay money 20 years ago to be
not 20 years ago. No, that's what I mean. Like the great grandfather.
The Singapore project of becoming the sixth Blue Zone, that for me feels, and again, we're not making any definite statements here. We're having a conversation about this, but that would feel much more like a commercially based operation rather than the, I feel like the original identity of the Blue Zones, and I'll probably want to take Loma Linda out of this, but you could only argue that some of them they're not wealthy regions. Like the villages we go to in Sardinia are not bustling with infrastructure. And you're not looking at the houses going, we're at the Taj Mahal. We often say, like, I think there's one swimming pool in Icaria. I think we've only ever seen one swimming pool in Icaria. We found a half-size soccer pitch. Haven't seen a tennis court. There's one resort, which is not even a resort. I mean, it's like a big guest house, if you know what I mean. But Singapore feels like a whole different approach. But let me simplify the original question because you've gone way more intellectual than I can even catch up with here. are the blue as the older people, and again in our experience we can really only talk Icaria and Sardinia, as the older people die, do the Blue Zones die with them?
Well, I think we're seeing that in Okinawa. We know that for sure. You and I have spoken about that a lot. You know, with Okinawa's health statistics plummeting, and certainly the younger generations doing not even close to 75% as well as what their forebears had done. We're seeing the drop off of Okinawa to the extent that I don't think their statistics would enable them to qualify for Blue Zone status in the future, regardless of if there was a financial requirement. It's interesting to see, you know, you and I, when we go to Icaria, we do notice that some of the older states people of Icaria are dropping off. And we don't see many of the centenarians as much anymore. Like they're there, but there's not as many. And because there's a generation gap, right, I don't know whether in the 10-year cycle where we are, and if it's a 20-year cycle, do we need to wait for people like Suli to reach 100 for us to then get to that centenarian zone again, as, say, Yani and Ioana? Well, Yani and Ioana and Suli are all the same age, right? So, like, and there's people like Marika, like, maybe they...
The 90-year-olds, it's like, you're actively looking to see how well the 90-year-olds...
And then we've got to see the 80. Then we've got to see the 80-year-olds get into 90s and how well do they go into the 90s. And then the 70-year-olds. And then if we think about that, you know, we know a lot of the 70 or 60-year-olds. So we know a lot of the 60-year-olds. Do they get through from, you know, 60 into 70 and then from 70 to 80? And that's going to be really telling because, you know, I don't see the lifestyle of the younger generation there being consistent with what we talk about to you know, maybe make it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But this is what I find is this is what I think is a really mature conversation by us is, do you define your longevity metrics by how you live your life in your 20s? So when I think of the Icarians that we see in their 20s, let's take Yanni as an example. They love to, and even Eva, who we were with, who's a, you know, we know how old she is, but let's just say she's in her 20s. She's physically active, but as Eva would say, she loves her soccer and she loves surfing, and Yanni loves surfing. And, but they would have late nights, you know, like late nights, like I would say a lot of people in their 20s would, but the way they would say it was that that wasn't that inconsistent with behavior in Icaria, because in the summer, you've got a lot more panagiotis, you've got a lot more festivals, you're doing a lot more socializing, which I think listening to us in Australia, we would say that summer is a lot more social time. You've got daylight savings, you've got more daylight, you're up a bit later, so on and so forth. The comment around, it's not even a missing age gap, but it's watching with observation, almost with bated breath. The demographers would be having a field day to see the people in their 80s and 90s, how are they going to go over the next one or two decades? And I think a lot of people are really curious to see what impact does technology have on not just longevity, but specifically on these blue zones. So in Sardinia, we observe that is the blue zone that is not really that thrilled with being a blue zone because they're very non plant based and other things. I feel like they're a square peg in a round hole type thing. They are really aware that, and we may have spoken about this before, that the traditional shepherd lifestyle, which did not really have any farm technology and shepherds were walking the land and so on, that it is now all motorbikes, you know, like they're all motorbikes. So everyone is watching with a level of bated breath over the next 10 or 20 years to see what happens. Do they retire early and, as we would say in Australia, just sit on the couch watching daytime TV? Or do they sit on their motorbikes until their dying days and have a way to be able to do that? But what's quite clear is that when they were walking shepherds, they would. It's a bit like Suli, who loves to go fishing in Icaria. He's in his early 90s, but he still loves to fish. But does he do it with the same intensity that he used to and for as long? Absolutely not. But he's not using newer technology than what he was 20 or 30 years ago. So it's not an easy question to answer, yes or no, whether blue zone's dying, is it? It's quite nuanced and it's really quite one of observation over the next 10 or 20 years.
Well, I think what's really interesting is what we've seen since 2016 when we went over there first is little changes to infrastructure. So the little changes to infrastructure could mean that life gets a bit easier. That, you know, things aren't as hard to come by. It could also mean that there's improvement in availability of resource because there's more jobs on the island because the government's spending more money on infrastructure and so on and so forth. That maybe some of the luxuries that make life easier that maybe we have over in Australia, maybe that could be reflected in their ability to stay fit and well and strong for long, you know, do you know what I mean? So it's possible that's going to happen. We don't know. And the other thing we don't know either is because, I mean, if you look at Australia's statistics of longevity continue to improve. Like the number itself continues to improve. I'm definitely noticing that there's more type 3 diabetes happening, a lot more Alzheimer's and dementia. So we're definitely seeing a lot more of that happening these days. So that seems to be as we get older. Now that we've found a way to, for the most part, avoid cardiovascular disease, that's now probably not the number one killer anymore. And we're starting to understand a bit more about different types of cancers. So there's a bit more longevity around different types of cancers. I think what's happening these days is we're starting to see the impact of diabetes and blood sugar control impacting the brain. And so we're now starting to see Alzheimer's in Australia as probably one of our most significant concerns around aging. Even though our numbers are going up, it's going to be really interesting to see whether or not in the blue zones with the shift in infrastructure, whether or not they still have sustainability around the number, or whether or not their number starts to drop as they start to grapple with the diseases that we've managed to bring under control, if that makes sense.
Because we've always said, a more comfortable life.
Exactly. We've always said longevity is as much about the top three things, purpose, engagement, and movement, as it is the avoidance of chronic disease. So if we can avoid the chronic diseases, and we've now got a new chronic disease that we've got to be very aware of, which is Alzheimer's, that's flying with a rate of knots. And unless we can get on top of that, that's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Australia. What happens in these other blue zones, you know?
And if you want a big conversation around dementia and Alzheimer's, listen to episode 42 of 100 Not Out with Professor Michael Woodward. He will tell you everything you want to know on that episode. Now, one of the things that I feel gives particularly you and also me, because I love it, great confidence around the lessons we learn for us on the European blue zones of Icaria and Sardinia is the connection to food and, by extension, the land, and by further extension, the family. That triangle of food, environment, and family feels massive, no matter what age, because we can see three generations all at a dining table. We could go to a farm and see the kids picking the strawberries on the grandparents' land. There is nothing to show that the connection to family is getting worse. In fact, it always feels like it's getting richer and richer over there, where there is a lot of dining done together, whereas in Australia and many other countries, just talking to a client the other day, she said, I can't get my kids out of the bedroom. They just want to eat in their bedroom. I can't even get them to the table. And I'm there going, well, if you're cooking the food, tell them they can't eat until they're at the table. Like, but in Icaria, you just find that this is something that is so sacred. Connection to land, connection to family, connection to food.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, yeah, we definitely see that, and I don't think that that's going to be lost. Though it could be, it's just whether or not all the other factors of the blue zones continue to remain. So, I think where I wanted to go with this when I mentioned earlier on that, you know, in 2016 we saw a whole lot of stuff. We still see that stuff in Icaria and Sardinia now. Like, there's still stuff that, you know, the lessons that we take away, you know, from those areas and bring them back to Australia, because our intention around our trips is to take people over there so that they find what it is in those cultures that they can bring back into their lifestyle back here. So we already know that our longevity statistics are increasing here in Australia. We need to avoid Alzheimer's. That's really important. We need to avoid the other chronic diseases. That's super important. Otherwise, they take us too early. Our statistics are improving. So if there was a way that we could learn the lessons, the other little bits and pieces, the other parts of the puzzle, the other magic that they have in Icaria and Sardinia, if we can learn that, which is the reason why we go there, to find some of those secrets and bring them back and incorporate them into our lifestyle, you'd say that the odds are stacked in our favor to improve and continue to improve our longevity stats in Australia if we can grab those secrets. It's kind of like that movie with the guy Michael, what's his name, and he goes around to different countries and he plants the American flag and he says,
Michael Moore,
and he plants the American flag in different countries and said, well, we now own this as an invention. You know, like, it's kind of like, if we can go into these countries, and with all due respect, we go in there and we discover what it is that floats our boat and bring it back into our culture. Not that we're going to drop our flag there, but it's a little badge, it's a little thing that we can kind of go, okay, got it. Like, got it. Now I understand what it is that, you know, it's going to help me live a long time, because the statistics and the odds are stacked in our favor in Australia to live a long time. We've just got to make the most of it.
And in Icaria, it is 80% less dementia. So that is one of the big things, is we go there to observe what is a lifestyle that generates 80% less dementia, 50% less cancer, 20% less heart disease. I mean, these are the things that are really important, as you're saying, Damo, for longevity. Is not just purpose, movement, social. Like, it's the avoidance, prevention of chronic disease, and that has to be active. That can't be a hope. That can't be a wish. That can't be a prayer. So there are so, so many. Go on.
Well, do you think that it's dying? Like, you know, you've asked me the question. Do you think that the Blue Zones are dying?
Well, you're a bit older and wiser than I am, so I think you're... you're
7 years, only one cycle.
One cycle, but there's so much wisdom in that cycle. So so that's why I always love to ask you the question first, because you then get me thinking. For me, I always remember going to Ikaria for the second time, going, I've already been here, what am I going to learn? I'm just here to help the group have their first experience. And then the second trip, 2018, was transformative. The 2019 trip, learned so much. And then last year, I feel like was the biggest thing, biggest, so many learning lessons. I could just talk a leg off a chair on, you know, the, you know, always being able to see the horizon, and they don't wear glasses and the way that they just some of the things in the botanicals and their reverence around getting up in the morning. Like, we talk about morning rituals. I was just running a webinar today on morning rituals and rhythms. And in Ikaria, like, they pretty much get up to check the garden. Like, I just have visions of, like, Ilya or Marika just with a hose standing on the porch, like, the garden. And it's like, you can just tell that they're just thinking about their life, or they might be just doing their gratitudes or sending love to their family or whatever. And so, I am answering your question, I promise. But if ever I thought that there was all I needed to know in one trip, every subsequent trip just rips my intellect open and go, there is so much more to learn. And like you said, it might not be that it's because we're not hanging around the 100-year-olds all day. It might be that we're dancing with a 90-year-old on the dance floor, or that we're having a wine with an 85-year-old like Vaso, who is the 91-year-old aunt of Ilya, that still walks down her driveway, which is steep downhill, whereas most Australians, all love to them, are constantly looking to downsize into a house with no stairs on a flat piece of land. So for me, I'm like, oh. Like, whether the Blue Zones are dead or alive doesn't necessarily matter. If I observe a 91-year-old that thrives with this physical vigor and this mental clarity on actually a steep piece of land, all of a sudden I'm going home going, I need to make my life that little bit more harder. Like you said when I first saw you in Athens last year about reading the book, I think it's called The Comfort Crisis. Like, we need to become more uncomfortable. So my answer to your question is, I think to what you said, in 10 years' time, if we're still going to Ikaria and Sardinia, I believe that we will be having a different conversation, because the 80-year-olds will be 90, the 90-year-olds, it's like, will they be 100? But the biggest thing that we know, to your point about longevity in Australia, is that the Blue Zones, as it stands right now, are great teachers of what longevity is. And the bigger the lesson, the bigger the spiritual urgency to age well, the more we are likely to do it, because in Australia, we do have a longevity crisis. You did say that we are living longer, but our morbidity is getting worse. We're living longer, but we have, you know, 11, 12, 13 years of a terrible quality of life to end it. So as it stands right now, the Ikarias, the Sardinias, even the Okinawas, by spending time with the elders and observing the challenges they're going through with their children and grandchildren, is a great lesson for how we live our own lives into the future. And just on that, there is no doubt, because we have to be clear that life is not static, it's dynamic. The rules of longevity are only going to mature. I'm quite firm in my view that ice baths and infrared saunas are not the secret to longevity, and I don't think in 10 years' time we will all be talking about ice baths and longevity and infrared saunas. But there will be a
bulletproof coffee. It's like the bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, and I feel like in episode 10 we were probably talking about resveratrol. Like, yeah. I'm probably almost certain that we were. So in 10 years' time, there will be other things that will be dominating the conversation around longevity. But that's where I feel like the Icarias of the world are really good for context and perspective and go, oh, like maybe having a bit more emotional availability for my friends or my family by switching off when I get home and just asking my wife, how is she, or my husband, or my children, and just sitting down and being emotionally available. Like, you just can't bottle that in a product. You can only have it in an experience. And so as long as that type of lifestyle doesn't change in the Icaria or Sardinias, then I think we're onto it. But if I'm a betting man, Sardinia will lose its blue zone type fashion first, because Sardinia is 13 villages that are the blue zone as in a massive island, whereas Icaria, the whole island is the same. The lifestyle is the same, if not similar, wherever you go. We could go to Therma on one side of the island or in Nas on the other side of the island, and it's still the same vibe. Whereas in Sardinia, we go, I think it's on the website, we say, are you going to the needle in the haystack? Like, are you prepared to go off the beaten track? So will the needle in the haystack still be there in 10 years' time? I think it's a lot harder to say with confidence that it will be. But for now, that's why I love that we go there. I know I'm rambling. That's why I love that we go there, because there is an urgency that it may not be there in 10 years' time. And that's why I love that with our relative youth demo, we can be sharing that wisdom with our audiences for decades to come.
Yes. Yep. Good answer.
Long one.
Well, that's 25% of your podcast, everyone. You'd have to push that 15-second backwards button a lot of times to hear that again. Piercy, I think you're right. The villages in Sardinia that we will be visiting in our trip, what I'm interested to look for is the presence of younger generations. That's what I'm interested in, because it's a long way away from the beach. It's a long way away from what you would say is relative civilization. So, you know, in terms of industry, will they continue to be able to be relatively self-sufficient? Are they going to need to rely on the ability to take trips into the bigger cities to buy groceries? You know, will they continue to be growing and supporting themselves and being independent and, you know, almost off the grid? Like, are they going to be able to do that with the smaller younger generation coming through? Or do the younger generation flee, and like in Icaria, the bulk of them fly over to Athens and then maybe they come back? Is that what's going to happen here? And do they head down the mountain to get to Cagliari, and then, you know, maybe some come back with a little bit of ricotta and go, I'm back now, you know, mum, will you have me? You know, what's going to happen there? What's going to happen?
That's so good. This is so good. So a couple of things, just to add a little bit more spice into this conversation. You talk about how far off the beaten track it is. There is a village that we stay in for 3 nights, I think, in restored traditional Sardinian huts. And I'm not going to mention the name of the village, because the silver bullet listeners will just try and beeline for this place. But it has the highest per capita data numbers for centenarians in all of Italy, and it is not one of the villages that is considered an official blue zone. So this is the part to Damo's cryptic conversation at the beginning, is that, you know, blue zones are not blue zones, and there are so many different ways to learn the lesson of longevity. And we're going to visit a village that people will probably have never heard of before, that is littered being way hyperbolic, but is littered with centenarians that we will be engaging with, because Ivo, as our host in Sardinia, spends a lot of time with centenarians, and we will be spending a lot of time with centenarians in Sardinia. But it reminds me of, I read it over the COVID years, the book, I think it's called The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. If you have never read The Time Machine by H.G. Wells, or whatever it's called, and you are considering joining us in Icaria or Sardinia, you do want to be prepared for the visual assault of feeling like you are in another century, maybe 5 or 6 decades prior. But the mod cons of daily life that we are so used to, to Damo's point earlier, are arguably part of the reason why these people have lived so well so long, because their life has been somewhat more difficult. So they've got a resilience, a hardiness that many of us don't. So it is really interesting. I know we're very excited to be going over. We're in Ikaria, August 22 to 31, and then fly back to Athens, get a bit of kip, and then fly to Rome and then Cagliari the next day, September 1 to 10. If you would like to join us, at the time of recording, there are a couple of spots left in each location. You can head on over to 100notout.com. That's 100notout.com. We've got videos on the socials, which is at 100.notout on Instagram. You can check out what we're up to. There are a litany of podcasts that we have recorded over the years about the Blue Zones and from Ikaria and Sardinia. We will pop a link to our Best of the Blue Zones playlist that's on Spotify. We'll link to that in the show notes. So if this is perhaps the first time you are listening or hearing about our trips to Ikaria and Sardinia, you have a plethora of information to support you in if you are going to join us this year or in the years to follow. But Damo, to your point from the very beginning, who knows if we'll be there in 10 years' time, or perhaps we will be going to other locations that have just as much, if not more, to share. I can't say I'm brimming with enthusiasm to take a Blue Zones or a longevity experience to Singapore. I'd love to go and visit your son, Jacko, over there and just enjoy a weekend. What I would love to do, headline that's in grey lead, particularly after the chat we had with Crystal in Okinawa, given that the centenarians are burying their children and their grandchildren.
Maybe we do a one-off trip. Maybe we do a one-off trip to Okinawa to experience it before it gets, you know, annihilated. Maybe we do that. So maybe
because Crystal, as a job, works with them every day, visiting the centenarians and observing their food and so on.
Yeah,
and she works with the Wilcox brothers and so on. So I feel like maybe a one-off. Good.
Let's do a one-off. So let's do a one-off. If we do, let's try and do a one-off. But I think I feel like we're going to do it in the next 1 or 2 years. So let's have a bit of a chat about that, Piercy. At the time of recording this, and I'm going to date stamp this, it's the 20th of March, we are less than 5 months away from taking off to head
away. I arrive into Athens 5 months today. I'll be giving you the biggest man hug. It'll be literally like since your birthday that I will have seen you.
That's ridiculous. I know, right? So anyway, it's so close. It's so close, and I am really excited about it. It's not too late, and I don't know that there are some people that are what you call urgency addicts, and they'll be going, oh, my God, I better adrenaline get on this. Is it only 5 months away? I thought I had all of 2024 to get there. Well, we're nearly at the end of 2024. Let me just break that news to you. So if you're thinking about it, wait no longer. Get on board. Reach out to us. We do have a couple of spots, and we'd love to have a conversation to see if you're the right fit to come.
Yeah, and just on that, I'm so glad you said that. I often say by application only, but it is by expression of interest. But just to put it really nicely, these groups are heavily curated by Damien and I. We don't bring people that are coming looking for a silver bullet, a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that's going to make them live forever. So you have to be coming for the right reasons, and that is to observe the lifestyle of the most well-lived people on the planet. You can't be coming to look for some secret ingredient that you reckon you'll be able to bottle and sell to the masses when longevity is nowhere near as simple as that. So just
we've already done that.
Asterisk fine print on that one. All right, this has been great. We could have this chat forever. Look forward to more of these with you in Europe. Great man. To everyone that has been listening or watching this podcast, thank you for your support. And until next week, as always, continue to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives. Whilst the Wellness Couch presenters endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.